Translation: Shivananda Sena experienced the three features of Shakshat, Avesha, and Avirbhava. Later, I shall vividly describe this transcendentally blissful subject. Please repeat. Srila Shivananda Sena experienced the three features of Shakshat, Avesha, and Avirbhava. Later I shall vividly describe this transcendentally blissful subject. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shivananda Sena has been described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj as follows. Shivananda Sena was a resident of Kumarahatta, which is also known as Halisahara, and was a great devotee of the Lord. About 1.5 miles from Kumarahatta is another village known as Kanchadapada, in which there are Gaura Gopal deities installed by Shivananda Sena, who also established a temple of Krishna Roy that is still existing. Shivananda Sena was the father of Paramananda Sena, who was also known as Puridas or Kavi Karnapur. Paramananda Sena wrote in his Gaura Ganadesh Deepika 176, or verse 176, that two of the gopis of Vrindavan, whose former names were Vira and Huti, combined to become his father. Srila Shivananda Sena guided all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya who went from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, and he personally bore all the expenses for the journey. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila, chapter 16, verses 19 through 27. Srila Shivananda Sena had three sons, namely Chaitanya Das, Rama Das, and Paramananda. As mentioned above, this last son became Kavi Karnapur and wrote the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika. His spiritual master was Srinath Pandit, who was Shivananda Sena's priest. Due to Vasudev Dutt's lavish spending, Shivananda Sena was engaged to supervise his expenditure. Sri Shivananda Sena actually experienced Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's features as Shakshat, Avesha, and Avirbhava. He once took along a dog while on his way to Jagannath Puri, and it is described in the Anchalila, first chapter, that this dog later attained salvation by his association. When Sri Raghunath Das, who later became Raghunath Das Goswami, fled his paternal home to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father wrote a letter to Shivananda Sena to get information about him. Shivananda Sena supplied him the details for which he asked, and later Raghunath Das Goswami's father sent some servants and money to Shivananda Sena to take care of Raghunath Das Goswami. Once Srila Shivananda Sena invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him so sumptuously that the Lord felt indigestion and was somewhat sick. This became known to Shivananda Sena's eldest son, Chaitanya Das, who gave the Lord the kinds of food that would help his digestion. And thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. This is described in Anchalila 10th chapter, verses 142 through to 151. Once, while going to Jagannath Puri, all the devotees had to stay underneath a tree without the shelter of a house or even a shed. And Nityananda Prabhu became very angry, as if he were greatly disturbed by hunger. Thus he cursed Shivananda's sons to die. Shivananda's wife, was very much aggrieved at this, quite naturally, and she began to cry. She very seriously thought that since her sons had been cursed by Nityananda Prabhu, certainly they would die. When Shivananda later returned and saw his wife crying, he said, "Why are you crying? Let us all die if she, Nityananda Prabhu, so desires." When Shivananda Sena returned and she, Nityananda Prabhu, saw him, the Lord kicked him very severely, complaining that he was very hungry, and asked him why he had not arranged for his food. Such is the behavior of the Lord with his devotees. Srila Nityananda Prabhu behaved like an ordinary hungry man, as if completely dependent on the arrangements of Shivananda Sena. A nephew of Shivananda Sena, namely Srikanta, left the company in protest of Nityananda Prabhu's curse and went directly to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, where the Lord pacified him. On that occasion, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowed his toe to be sucked by Puridas, who was then a child. It is by the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could immediately compose Sanskrit verses. During the misunderstanding with Shivananda's family, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered his personal attendant, Govinda, to give all the remnants of his food. Sorry, to give them all the remnants of his food. This is described in Anchalila, chapter 12, verse 53. Omagyana timarandasya janandana salakaya chakshurumilitangyena tasmai shi guruve namaha Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. There's a wonderful picture, you may have seen it, of Nityananda kicking Shivananda Sena right here on the solar plexus. Shivananda Sena looks slightly surprised, but also quite happy. How do we understand these pastimes? After all, we may be surprised by these actions of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. What is the significance? Indeed, we should be careful about criticizing the Supreme Lord as also the representative of the Supreme Lord, the Guru, one's Guru. Srila Prabhupada discusses one incident where Damodarananda Pandit, I think, who was the confidential associate of the Lord, started to criticize the Lord. Actually, it transpires when one reads the purport that actually the Damodarananda Pandit was actually acting out of love. There was some possible indiscretion on the behalf of Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi, for which he might have been criticized. But in that purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes, as relevant here, a Bengali poem. Yadyapi Nityananda Shurabadi Yoi, Tatapi Ohaya Nityananda Roy. Even if I see that Lord Nityananda has entered a liquor shop, I will not be diverted from my conclusion that Nityananda Roy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada mentions there that one should not think that Nityananda Prabhu has gone for a drink, but that he has a higher purpose to perform. I remember also when we were doing book distribution, sometimes we would go into pubs, but to sell books, not to drink. One thing that occurred to me is that it's very easy to explain such events merely as lila, which they are. And there is a transcendental reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees in this lila. It's interesting, isn't it? There's a concept of the spiritual realm, if we contemplate it, particularly if we're philosophically minded, to be something rather vague and abstract and wispy. Perhaps we're sitting on a cloud and playing a harp all day. I mean, can you imagine doing that all day? It's rather vague. What is interesting is that actually the lila of the Lord are full of intrigue, violence, romance. This is rasa. So even though this may be confusing to the mind, what is Lord Nityananda doing, still it gives some taste. That word rasa, by the way, means taste. Yes, it gives some taste, some juice. The devotees, tushchanticha, ramanticha, they enjoy discussing those pastimes. However, sometimes when we discuss, there's a common response to say, this is just lila. There's a challenge in that response, in that sometimes we think, well, how is this relevant to us? What is the purpose of this? Also, sometimes when we... What is the purpose of listening to class as we are doing now? There is certainly an idea that there is some purification going on. That process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, purification must be there. Actually, this word purification has kind of entered into the ISKCON lexicon, the kind of words that we use. Have you noticed that sometimes you'll meet a devotee and you'll ask him how he or she is? How is it going? Say, purifying. Purifying. You can immediately ask them, so you're suffering? Have you noticed? It is true that hearing and chanting is a process of purification. However, when we read Shastra with all its many stories, with the devotees who are sometimes making mistakes, at other times being successful, we are to learn from these stories. There should be a conscious engagement with the subject matter and an attempt to apply in our everyday lives what we learn. Chanaka Pandit has said that one who is a learned pandit and knows all the Vedas but has no worldly experience is equal to a mudha. In other words, we need to have what I call that dialogue with Shastra. How does it affect our lives? How is this story of Lord Nityananda meaningful to our lives? When I was in Mayapur in February, I was I was noting how Krishna consciousness seemed very natural there. I was very happy there. Even I felt happy. Naturally, it felt very natural. But how do we apply the principles of Krishna consciousness? We hear these stories, all these details about these villages in Bengal. But how do we apply this knowledge here in, say, Edgware, where I live, in the UK? So this is our challenge, to actually draw something from these shastras that are relevant. And I'd like to leave some time for some questions and answers. By the way, what time do we finish? 9 o'clock. Okay. I will not try to give a demonstration of eternity here. There is one writer who said that the British invented cricket so they would have an understanding of eternity. Anyway, just to give you a cultural example of trying to understand some of these spiritual matters. So what can we learn from this? And here, after all, there is a very clear verse in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tat Tad Eva Tarojanaha Sa Yat Pramanam Kurate Lokastad Anuvartate. Whatever a great person does, common men will follow. So whatever example he sets, the whole world will pursue. In the modern context, we see many celebrities, and people follow their example. They have an influence, strong influence. Therefore, we're influenced, even as devotees, often by the media or our children, the media. How do we deal with the media? Because that is a form of sangha, association. First, it is clear that Sivananda Sena is obviously an exalted devotee. He experienced the Lord's three features as mentioned here. Shakshat means the direct presence of the Lord. Avirbhava, did you mention this yesterday, Marish? I'm sorry if I'm repeating, but just, Avirbhava, his indirect appearance. And there is one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appeared in four places: in the household temple of Mother Shachi, in the place where Lord Nityananda danced, in the house of Srivas Pandit during congregational chanting, and in the house of Raghava Pandit. He appeared because of his attraction to love of his devotees. He appeared because of his attraction to the love of his devotees. That is his natural characteristic. And Avesha, being empowered, we often use the word Shaktavesh avatar, one who's empowered, as with Pradyumna Brahmachari, also called, I think, Nishingananda Brahmachari. These leelas will be described later in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so I'm not going to explain them now. But Sivananda Sena was also such an empowered devotee that he delivered a dog. Not something we can easily imitate, though I'm sure there are examples, and some of you, I'm sure, will have some stories of animals being delivered by devotees. There was an instance I heard of devotees in Scotland who were performing a festival outside in a park, and many of the non-devotees had left the prasadam. They hadn't eaten it all on their plates. So the story goes that one dog went round and consumed all the halva on these plates, then drank copious amount of water And it seems that perhaps the halva expanded in his stomach and he left his body. Anyway, a story. Some of you may have heard that. So there may be many stories as to how animals can also be delivered. It gives us some, perhaps this gives us some inspiration, not only because if a dog can be delivered, then, you know, we have a chance, but also it should give us some impetus for preaching also. Mm-hmm. However, what I'd like to draw from this story and the pastimes of Shivananda Sena was his service to the Vaishnavas. A very important principle, Vaishnava Seva. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati drew in his founding the Gaudiya Math and pushing on the Chaitanya Sampradaya, drew from the four Vaishnava Sampradayas. And the one thing that he drew, actually he drew two things, two items or two features from each of the four Sampradayas. And one of the items that he drew from the Sri Sampradaya of South India was Vaishnava Seva. And I'd like to explore this a little bit here. Recently I read some of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, and what struck me was how he was not shy in meeting his needs. Apparently, according to, I think, Shutakirti, who was his servant, when they were on an aeroplane and the sign went on not to go to the loo, Srila Prabhupada would go anyway. And even he would eat and have his table down when the sign was up not to do so. Yeah, the seatbelt sign, you're all familiar. And this made me think a little more about meeting our needs. And I also came across a statement in a recent publication, which I found upstairs, not a book, which said something to the extent, and I paraphrase a little bit, that denying our mind and body is the basis of Dharma. This is incorrect. How can we deny the mind and the body? This actually is Mayavad philosophy. I know when we don't like something, we call it Mayavad philosophy. I hope I'm not doing that. Yeah? But it is. Why? Because the Mayavad philosophy says that this material world is false. It is an illusion. The Vaishnava philosophy does not hold that this world, this material energy, is false. It is illusory. It has the potency to put us all in profound illusion, as we all know. We all have incidents where we have thought, this will give me some pleasure. Yes, I see some thinking going on. Somehow it didn't turn out that way. So we do actually have a mind and a body. We have those needs. I think what this article was trying to say was that we need to restrain the senses. Matras pashas tu kuntiya shitoshana shukudukita. That's certainly true. Otherwise we're deviated from performing our duty. However, There's a question here. What's the difference between a need and a desire? After all, there are four needs. What are the four needs? Ahara, nidra, bayam, matunam cha. Eating, sleeping, mating, and some form of defense, baya, defense. Fear, literally, but also defense. Those characteristics are shared by humans and animals. It is not that we do not have those needs, but the human being has something extra. What is the extra mentioned in that verse? Ahara nidra maitum. Do you know? Which means? Dharma? Dharma. Thank you, Maharaj. It is dharma. That sense of, sometimes it's translated as duty. Yeah? So that verse, Matraspashas to Kuntiya. Shitoshna Shukadugita, Agamapo, you know, tongues to Tikshasvabharata. In that verse, Krishna is explaining that which distracts us from our duty. And that is responding to the dualities of heat and cold, summer and winter, fighting with a friend rather than an enemy. In this case of Arjuna. Yeah? So that verse applies to that. But actually, it does not suggest that we deny the mind and body. They exist. We have a mind. What do we do with them? And what is the role of looking after the needs of the mind and the body in Krishna consciousness? Because here we see that Sivananda Saina was looking after the devotees. He gave them housing. He arranged their prasad. There was even an element regarding immigration, that he had to see them through the toll, the various tolls along the road. What is also interesting is that actually it's mentioned here that Vasudev Dat was spending lavishly. We can imagine that he wasn't necessarily going to Tesco's or some other shop to spend lavishly. One could imagine that perhaps he was spending on Krishna consciousness. I don't know. But it is explained that because he was a householder, he needed to ensure some financial security. And therefore, Sivananda Saina looked after him, his expenses, for that reason. So the question that arises here, and we can discuss somewhat, is what is the role of looking after our material needs and material welfare in spiritual life? One reason I say this is I come personally from a generation that tended to renounce in early life and get married a little later on. I got married when I was 49. And we had this philosophy that it doesn't matter. Krishna will look after us. And now there are many devotees of my generation who are in their 60s and 70s and are still working. And there is a general awareness that some or other we didn't really do the right thing. Some I see are nodding. Yeah? And actually the question is, even does our material situation affect our spiritual life? How much does it? Now it may be that on the transcendental platform one is complete, as Lord Nityananda is an example, an avaduta. It may be that he can be and actually a pure devotee is transcendental. In one lecture, and I've explained this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada is talking for a while about how the pure devotee is transcendental to the three gunas. And suddenly he says, but we do not think that we are transcendental. We are not so impudent. That's the word he uses. So the question is, how much are we still affected by these things? And what should our approach be? There is an initiative that has been started some years ago, led by some key devotees in ISKCON, such as His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, Niranjan Swami, Kavichandra Swami, Birkrishna Goswami, and so on, called Devotee Care. Here there is an initiative called Krishna Care, is it, Prabhu? Yes, Krishna Care. Yes. So there is an awareness, an emerging awareness, that actually we need to look after devotees in a variety of ways. I did some research for this initiative, and one of the results was a certain tendency with some devotees when faced with another devotee who's got some real challenges, and that response is, chant Hare Krishna, it will go away. Now, it is true that the chanting of Hare Krishna is the panacea for all ills. I don't want to dispute that theological fact. But there are some real issues about what we do when we have real problems. Because when we become a devotee, it doesn't mean that all those challenges will go away. Nor should we expect them to go away. Not that I am in household life, therefore this is problematic. It is problematic, but it is your dharma. Whatever ashram we find ourselves in, there is some challenge. It was in this temple I joined in July 1973. There were so many disturbances in my mind. And at one point I went to, as he was then, Harikesh Swami. And I asked him, Maharaj, my mind is so disturbed, what should I do? And his response was, what do you expect? How do you think Arjuna felt on the battlefield? What happened when his crown was knocked off by Karna? You know the story, at one point Karna had this astra. I forget which one, but it was potent. And it would have killed Arjuna without a shadow of a doubt. And at that point, Krishna pulled on the horses and the chariot pulled up suddenly. And as it did so, it dipped. So the weapon that was destined to take off Arjuna's head, knocked off his crown instead. Krishna consciousness means we engage the mind in his service. If it is disturbed in his service, so be it. Anyway, this was an interesting lesson for me. So our needs, our material needs, this denial is not so good. Somehow not meeting our needs, the idea that if I don't meet my needs, I will become Krishna conscious. This is the path of Gyan. It is interesting how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati so often quoted the verse by Rupa Goswami, Anya bilasita sunyam, jnana karma yanavritam, anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttam. This bhakti in its pure form is completely free of this tendency to enjoy the world, but also free of that tendency to think that by engaging in austerity, by negating the self, by negating the world, and by negating God, or the personhood of God, we become perfect. Mm-hmm. This is a very pernicious path, the self-negation. Ravindra Sarup was writing, why did Srila Prabhupada so vehemently and repeatedly criticize the Mayavadis? And Ravindra Sarup Prabhu writes, is it just some kind of personal vendetta Srila Prabhupada had with some other holy people in India? And Ravindra Sarup Prabhu concludes, no, these instructions are meant for us, that we need to look in our own hearts and to ask, am I still engaged in fruitive activities in the name of Krishna consciousness? Or am I still negating the world and pursuing the path of jnana? There is a wonderful quote in Henry V, wherein the Dauphin, it's like the Prince of Wales in France, where he addresses his father and he says, self-love, my liege, is not so vile a sin as self-neglecting. So this process of self-neglect will not lead us to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, first point I'd like to make is, we have been given this mind and body. We need to take responsibility for it ourselves. There are many aspects of that. Our health, physical health, our emotional health, housing, marriage, finance. Some of them, there's some allusion to this. Secondly, we should not think that these issues are inconsequential to our spiritual life. They have an effect on us. Thirdly, the need for us as Vaishnavas to look out, especially if we have, well, we all have various positions of responsibility, to look after others under our care. It has occurred to me that when four types of people, or four groups of people, individuals or groups, approached Ranti Dev, you know the story? My question to you is, you know the story. First a Brahmin came, then a Shudra, then a man with dogs, and then a Chandala. Each time, even though King Ranti Dev had been fasting, I think, well, how long was it, 48 days? It was a long time. He was practically on the verge of death. Each time he gave away his food and finally his water. Why did he not tell these people to chant Hare Krishna? I don't know. I'm going to leave that question with you. I'm getting a little lost here. I'm trying to find a wonderful verse by King Ranti Dev. This is a verse. I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the eight perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I only want to stay among the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf so that they may be freed from suffering. Again, how much that resonates with the sentiment of Vasudev Dat, who also asked that may all the karma of all the living entities come to me so that they can be liberated. I mean, that's quite... I mean, think about that. We're also undergoing suffering. We have tribulations. As Shakespeare also said, this is an interesting one. Perhaps this is relevant also to our preaching. He said, every problem is easy to solve, except our own. I have an answer for your... I'm a proper disciple. Come on. I've got an answer for all your problems. But when they come myself, it's difficult. Yeah. Are we able to accept that? I've been reflecting how very often when there is a court case, there's lots go on and international stars are involved, Bollywood stars are all supported by other Bollywood stars because they think that their colleague should not be imprisoned for running over someone on the Mumbai pavement, possibly because he's a Mumbai star. But it's amazing how very few criminals actually just go, what I did was wrong, I accept my sentence. No, I have to appeal. And then appeal. And another counter-appeal. And of course, the lawyers, in the meantime, we won't get into that, are the ones who benefit. But can we actually say, yes, I have done something wrong. I deserve this. On a personal level, I did happen to meet one gentleman, a scholar. His name is Professor Hull. He's retired now. He's actually in religious education in the University of Birmingham, or he was. By chance, I was traveling with another devotee. We'd been to a conference, my god sister Sita. We'd been to some conference, and we were in Birmingham Station, and I saw him with a helper, because Professor Hull is blind. He went blind. And on the way down from Birmingham to London, we were chatting with him. And there was not, as far as we could detect, a slight bit of lamentation or resentment that he'd gone blind. And he even told me, I have some of my colleagues, Christian friends, who come to me and say, I will pray for you so that you can get your sight back. And he was criticized. He didn't like that approach. that had a great impact on me personally, because I've had some problems with my eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, this is terrible. So can we actually accept what is happening to us? Can we accept our own karma? And here Vasudev Das is saying, give me everyone's, every single soul in the universe. So mathematically it is astounding. Ranti Dev is also asking for that. And I think, again, we need to ask that question, how much does our material well-being, even having a sound material identity, knowing who we are, or being aware of who we are, what relationship does that have to our spiritual life? Because one thing is clear, simply by negating our material identity, by criticizing what the karmas do, we will not come to the platform of success. Another question I'm going to ask you is, why do devotees generally leave the association of other devotees, become somewhat disinterested, disenfranchised, and so on? Is it because of a lack of faith? It may be sometimes. but often it's because of the social interactions that we have. We can take a few questions or comments on that. There is an initiative now, I'm happy to say, that is looking at devotee care. Now, I'm not going to say that we all have to start becoming more caring, nor am I criticizing, saying that we're not caring enough. It takes time for a society to actually embed a culture of care. It has to become ingrained. It has to become second nature. There needs to be systems and structures that are now developing that actually show that we care. Because if we feel, as devotees, I want to be in this association, then we will stay. I don't want to leave. So this culture of care is exemplified by Shivananda Sena. So much so that when he learned that he had this dog, he made friends with this dog. When he learned that the dog had been let, actually one of the ferrymen wouldn't take the dog on the ferry. I'm not sure what reason, but no dogs allowed. Shivananda was very upset. And when he found that the devotees had not fed the dog his boiled rice, he was extremely upset and sent 10 men to look for the dog. That is the concern that Shivananda Sena had for that dog. How much more then we can actually develop that concern for others. And I'm going to read just to finish, and then we'll take some questions. If I can find it. Some statement here. From His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. ISKCON needs to be a caring organization that provides a family atmosphere based on love and trust. If we're in a position of being subordinate, we should think, I need to have faith. But if we're in a position of leadership, and we are all in some position of leadership in this world, whether it's a parent or whatever, we have some role. We should be thinking not this person should have trust in me or faith in me, but that I need to become trustworthy. How can I become trustworthy? How can I have that integrity? How can I become acharya? The GBC Devotee Care Committee wants to provide the spiritual, mental, emotional, social, and physical care each ISKCON member deserves as a part and parcel of Lord Krishna. How can leaders carry this forward on a personal and institutional level? How can we create devotees who are encouraged, inspired, happy, and empowered to make spiritual advancement and expand Srila Prabhupada's mission? We need to be fulfilled. Very important. The Devotee Care Committee defines success in this regard as the creation and maintenance of a strong, happy, and loving Vaishnav community, and a society that recognizes that the devotees themselves are its real assets. There is some discussion, material assets or human resources, which are more important? The church, the building, or the church as the people? And there are issues here, and there is a recognition that our devotees are our greatest assets. Not only are the devotees our greatest assets, but they are the purpose of our service. The welfare of others, starting firstly with our devotees, is our very mission. These are some lessons we might learn from the story of Shivananda Sena. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments?